Arthur K. from Los Angeles.
Hey everyone, my name's Arthur. I'm an alcoholic. It's a pretty small meeting. You know, one of my biggest character defects is people pleasing and fear of what people think of me. So I got dressed up because I want you all to like me. So like, before I got to this meeting tonight, I did my prayers and I don't really have anything planned to say, so I asked God, to speak through me. And so I come to the meeting and I meet someone tonight and he says, "Oh, you're the 10-minute speaker?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Please be funny and don't suck." Thanks, God. I'm sobered today by the grace of my higher power from the program and the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. But I'm not out of the woods. A little bit about how I was raised was I grew up kind of like not really knowing who I am, you know what I mean? Like just kind of, I played football in ninth grade not because I wanted to play football, but because I felt such a lack of self-worth, I just wanted to belong, I ended up being the water boy. did a lot of running, back and forth with the coach and all that, but that was pretty much it. There was no fame. Like, it was all in my head, I always had an idea of what being a man meant. I just never got the recipe to be a man. I never, never got that kind of menu, It's not like I was born, I was like, "Oh, these are the things that I need to do. This is how I do it." I was just kind of grew up and think, I need to have a car. I need to have a place to live. And everyone will love me, I just thought social status was everything. I got all my power from relationships, from jobs, from the people I hung out with. And that didn't work out so well, did it? But I'm here to tell you that through the program, I've had a spiritual change, a spiritual awakening on many levels, more than one. See, I was the kind of drinker that, I could function. I wasn't really like drinking every day, or I didn't get blackouts, shakes and stuff. I mean, I guess I would have if I continued, but I drank every weekend for 20 years, and I was dead during the week. I guess you would call that a functioning alcoholic. It wasn't much of functioning because I didn't really feel good about myself at all. It got to the point where I would go to parties and I would get drunk and talk about spirituality. I was all about that. Like, take a shot and I'll talk about the chakras and meditation, try to meet women. It didn't work out because I was belligerent before the night was over. So what ended up happening was on September 2, 2013, I drank two bottles of vodka at my uncle's house and I was telling him how God doesn't exist. And I wasn't getting drunk. I was just pissed. And I wanted to blow my brains out. I just didn't have the courage to take my own life. And what led up to this point, I'll just tell you this. I kind of grew up where everyone made fun of me my whole life. I got called names. I was told I was ugly. I was told I'm not good enough. So I carried a lot of guilt and shame. All my life I felt ugly. All my life I've thought being a man meant I have to not be a coward in a fight. All my life I felt that if I get a good job or if I have a wife, that's going to make me a man, If I have a house, a picket fence, that's going to make me a man, None of that happened for me. Only the drink happened for me. I mean, I was a family man when I was drunk, I was the man when I was drunk. But when that ended, I just wanted to die. So after, bouts of going to jail a few times, and then finally on September 3, 2013, I went to a meeting where I heard for the first time somebody that sounds just like me. And it was this one guy, he was sitting at a meeting and he said, "I just don't get life." And I'm like, "Oh my God, that's what I've been waiting to hear, It's like all my friends that I hang out with, all they talk about is cars, is women, is sports. And it's like, if I'm not feeling good about myself, that's the least things I care about, but yet I'm trying to get approval from them. So, like, I'm trying to keep up with that conversation, but it doesn't feel good. I'm just putting up a show. So when I went to, on September 3, I went to a meeting. In about 4 days, I got a sponsor. I went through the steps in about 4 months. I was that desperate. And I continued to do the steps. These steps here saved my life. And the reason it saved my life is because it got me closer to a God that I understand. And I realized that I don't have depression. I don't have anxiety. I'm an alcoholic. And to me, being an alcoholic is very similar to having anxiety and to being depressed, except Prozac can't solve that problem for me. Only a higher power that I can understand. And what the steps did for me, especially in step 2 and 3, is it gave me a way to like create a higher power, that something that's bigger than me that could fight this thing, you know, because I can't do this. I don't know how to live. I don't know how to stop drinking. So once I spoke to the cosmos and I learned that there's a source where I can truly get my identity, self-worth, and value, that's when my life changed. And I haven't had a drink since. The obsession has been lifted. And I never thought that was possible. I thought it was just hunky-dory fairy tale stuff. Nobody really stops drinking. The steps work. They've worked for me and they continue to. One last thing I want to tell you guys is, so I was reading, I do a lot of reading in the book. And if you're new, I'll just tell you that the first thing that I did was I just started reading the book. Reading the book constantly. The first 164 pages where the steps are outlined. It's amazing. It's like, really each step really opens up a new world of thought, a new perception. Because what I have is a disease of perception. It's something that centers in my mind. That means if you tell me something, I've got a screwed up factory in here. It's like a fear producing machine. And if you tell me something, even if you compliment me, if I'm not well, I'm going to process that and it's not going to process correctly, you know? So I'm reading the book, you know, to get out of that kind of thinking, you know, to get me on a new way. And then there's this part, it talks about the fourth dimension. You know, Bill talks about you'll be rocketed to the fourth dimension. I'm like, man, I want that, you know? It's like, if I can't drink, I want to be in the fourth dimension. I tried to get there. I couldn't even walk up the stairs, you know? So I did a little bit of research on it. I Googled fourth dimension and this is what I found out. You know, I found out that scientists, they say the fourth dimension is time, right? It's the fourth dimension is time. The Mayans say the fourth dimension is a spirit realm. And mathematicians say, like, there's an object, it's like length, width, and height. And the fourth dimension is volume. And so I guess Bill knew what he was talking about, because the fourth dimension is like, if an object has length, width, and height, the volume to the object is like a death to the soul. And time, if you're always in the present moment, fear can attack you. And I guess the Mayans were right, because when I'm connected to my higher power, and I'm always in the spirit realm, that means I'm confident and I love myself today. I don't feel fear and shame anymore. And I only get one day at a time to do that as long as I do this work. And this year goes out to all my teachers who never said I'd stand behind a podium and speak. Ta-da. Thanks a lot.